Let me read the gospel, then we'll sing it. So the gospel today continues our readings from John 6. This is the last Sunday in this long 5 weeks where we've had Jesus as the bread of life. So next week, all the wheat goes, well, maybe not, because we have the grandkids this week and it might not have time. But we go back to Mark next Sunday. And you will notice really how different they are. One of the neat things about doing these John readings and then going to Mark is how differently they express the same kind of gospel. And for example, I mentioned this before, that John has a high Christology, and so you'll see that again, like he knows everything, you know, kind of drives me crazy, but for Jesus knew from the first who were the ones who did not believe and the one who was going to betray him. So you don't find that kind of thing in Mark. In fact, in a couple of weeks, he'll do this marvelous thing and say, don't tell anybody. What? It's very interesting. But I anticipate that. Also, this connects really well with our first lesson. And this is the first time in John's gospel where the disciples are mentioned as the 12. Before this, it was disciples. It was a group. But some of them are struggling and kind of wander off. And this is the first mention of the 12. Please stand for the reading from John 6. Jesus said, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one who would betray him. And he said, for this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father. Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, do you also wish to go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
God's beloved people, what does it mean to choose God? When I was a kid growing up in northern Minnesota, it didn't seem we had much of a choice. Every Sunday morning we went to church. That is who we were. That is what we did. And we didn't have a choice. Still, there were choices. And when I was growing up, it all seemed to be to center around being sorry for my sins, especially around communion, which we celebrated, you know, if that was the right word, once a month. I mean, does that seem weird now? I mean, but that's the way it was. My grandfather, who lived with us all through all my elementary school, rarely took communion. When I asked why, The answer was, he didn't feel worthy, which I didn't understand, but I thought it must be some old Norwegian piety kind of thing which was always floating around my house. All of which made it even more important for me to choose to be really sorry for all my sins. Sorry enough to earn God's favor. All these years later, I still remember thinking that last month I felt significantly sorrier for my sins than I did this month. I mean, how sorry did I have to feel? And then, of course, I have a brother a year younger than I am. How sorry could I feel about the sins against my brother, some of which I actually delighted in? The problem with all that kind of stuff, of course, is that so much depended on me. So a long time ago, many years ago now, I moved away from that anxiety version of choosing. When I walk into worship, I rather imagine myself in a story much, much bigger, older, and wiser than me. I sort of sink into the richness of tradition and sacrament and liturgy, confident that the ancient rhythms of the church will feed me. I lean away from the personal and into the community, the communal, a small part of a vast and interconnected body. So I don't worry like when I was a kid. I am rooted and held. Yet, both our first reading and gospel for the day make clear choice still matters. Choose this day whom you will serve. Joshua tells all the Israelites as they gather to enter the promised land, choose this day here, now. Do you also want to go away? Jesus asks his disciples as people take offense at his teaching and abandon him. I mean, there's a fork in the road here. It's time to choose real choices that make a real difference. It's really important, however, that what is at stake here in these decisions is not the identity or security or salvation of the choosers. In the reading from Joshua, the Israelites are already chosen and beloved by God. They have a long history with Yahweh, a history of deliverance from slavery in Egypt, manna in the desert direction, in the wilderness wanderings. Likewise, the people who abandoned Jesus are not folks who just happened by, you know, walking by on their way home from Safeway. They are Jesus' disciples. He has fed them, taught them, healed them, and loved them. What is at stake in both these stories is whether or not God's already beloved, rescued, and saved children will choose to live fully into who they already are. The call of Joshua and Jesus is to hold in some kind of tension these two amazing and maybe paradoxical truths. God has already chosen us. And two, we are therefore invited to choose God in return. Not once or twice, but over and over and over and over again. So I'm back to my original question that I started this with. What does it mean to choose God? As a gift meant both for our individual lives and our community, as St. Mark. It is worth noting that neither Jesus nor Joshua make it particularly easy. Joshua tells his listeners, hey, if you would rather worship the idols of your ancestors, hey, go for it. Likewise, Jesus doesn't make excuses when his followers take offense and deem his teachings too hard. He never offers a Christ light or Jesus for dummies kind of version of following. Yes, this teaching is glorious, life-giving, blessed, but it's also hard. What does it mean to choose God? According to Jesus, it means eating his very essence. That is, taking the incarnation so deeply into our bodies and beings that we exude the flavor of Christ to the world. It means doing what Jesus did and living as Jesus lived. It means turning the other cheek. It means loving your enemies. It means walking the extra mile. It means losing our life in order to gain it. It means trusting that the last will be first and the first last. It means denying ourselves. It means caring for the last, the least, the lost, and the little, the most vulnerable of God's children. It means seeking God's kingdom, God's righteousness, and caring for God's good creation. Do you also want to go away? There's something so vulnerable and poignant in that question. I imagine Jesus asks it sadly, but with his usual compassion and understanding. He knows what he's asking, but also that his love is a freeing love. They're free even to walk away. And the answer is yes. Sometimes I want to go away. Sometimes I want to quit. I want to be comfortable. I want to pick an easier, less demanding, and less costly version of the gospel. But here's the deal. That version doesn't exist. As Peter responds, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. You gotta like that this bold, brash Peter doesn't just shout out, no, but responds with a searching question of his own. Lord, what are the alternatives? Your teachings are hard, but they have life in them. In your words, your body, the strange food you feed us with, you are life itself. To whom else would we go? What does it mean to choose God? It's a question we keep asking ourselves. Choose this day and this day. And the day after that, and after that. Keep choosing, because God already chooses us. Now it's our turn to choose his grace and peace and all that good stuff. Amen.